We have two portions of scripture before us this morning, and one from the Old Testament and one from the New. From the Old Testament, we will be reading Isaiah 43, the first seven verses. Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 7. And then from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 10, verses 13 to 16, which is also the text. Mark 10, 13 to 16. Isaiah 43 at verse 1, hear the word of God. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba in your place. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored. And I have loved you, and therefore I will give man for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. And then Mark 10, verse 13 to 16. Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come unto me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Here ends the reading of Scripture. Blessed are those who not only hear the word of God, but also keep it. Hallelujah. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and some of us may be familiar with YouTube and with the videos that are sometimes on YouTube. And now I'm thinking especially about videos about wildlife. The other day, I saw one showing a huge herd of wildebeest running and stirring up and big cloud of dust, with the calves and the young cattle trying to keep up with the adults. And then it showed at first one little wildebeest calf, which somehow had gotten separated from its mother and the herd. One wildebeest came back and snuffed at the calf and then pushed it away and left, clearly saying, "You're not mine." And some moments later, a second little wildebeest calf showed up, also left behind. Now you can imagine what eventually happened to these two so vulnerable youngsters. Some beasts of prey showed up and made a meal of them. And you wonder, where were the mothers? And even more also, where were the fathers, the bulls? Where was the rest of the herd to protect and guide these little ones? In this connection, it is interesting that the story about the Lord Jesus blessing some young children does not say whether it were the parents who brought these children to the Lord Jesus. It's often assumed, but it doesn't say so. All it says is that it were males. That the verb form tells us it were males who brought the children, probably the fathers, but possibly also grandfathers or other male members of the extended family. The point is that those who were bringing the children considered it important that a rabbi from Nazareth would touch them, lay his hands on them. And what matters here is that these adults were concerned for the well-being of these little ones. And they realized that this rabbi from Nazareth was a very special person. And so they wanted him to lay his hands on them, which meant that he would bless them, lay his benediction on them, which, of course, was the blessing of the Lord God. Now, when we consider those young children in those days, then we think those children in those days were far more vulnerable than our little children today. We think that way because of all the protection and safety issues, like approved cribs and approved car seats. And then we think that life 2,000 years ago was far more primitive and rough than it is today. But when we think that, we're forgetting about the difficulties children are having today, like with depression and suicidal thoughts and other emotional and mental stresses, like bullying and thoughts of hopelessness and sexual pressures and the temptations to overcome their problems through drugs. Sometimes it must seem to parents today that their children are like those wildebeest calves, all by themselves, open to various predators. Not that the parents are not around, you are around as parents, but because as parents you simply sometimes do not know how to reach your children, and you struggle to figure out what your children may well be thinking. And meanwhile, children today are allowed much sooner to walk away from their parents as soon as they are 16, instead of accepting the authority of their parents well into their 20s. And all this makes us think again of these young wildebeest calves in a wide open field, exposed to all these predators. Parents need help with the raising of their children, that's for sure. And so it should not surprise us that those adults brought the little ones to the Lord Jesus. Luke even calls the little ones babies. And so it's a good thing that you, Derek, and Marie have done the same thing this morning as those men back in the days of the Lord Jesus. But you and we know that it wasn't just your idea, but really the Lord God's command to bring our little ones to the Lord Jesus. We also read this morning out of Isaiah 43, and there the Lord God makes it so very clear that his covenant people belong to him and all their children. And it is true that the first verse speaks really of the people of Israel. They are also called Jacob. But what is said there may also be applied in a personal manner, because of verse 7 in Isaiah, everyone who is called by my name, whom I, the Lord God, have created for my glory. I have formed her. Yes, I have made her. And so we dare to say that the Lord God also says to Andrea, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. The Lord God has called Andrea by name. And this has happened publicly this morning. Her name has been sealed unto her by the triune God. Like all of our names are sealed unto us insofar we are baptized. Now, there is now an unbreakable bond between Andrea and God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, namely a covenantal bond, which means that the only way that it is now possible for her to be lost in the open field, prey to the predators of this world, is when either adults do not show her the way to the Savior, or she herself on purpose turns back to him. Now, in order that neither of this may ever happen, it is very important that parents will bring their little ones to the Lord Jesus as long as these little ones are under their roof. And that is the theme of this message. Believing parents are to bring their little ones to the Lord Jesus for lifelong protection. And then first we look at treating your child as one that is adopted by the Lord Jesus. When the Lord God declares to the people of Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you, I have called you by name, you are mine. He is speaking, of course, to the whole faith community. And then the Lord God is not only speaking to those who have what we might call true faith. Of course, we know that all the people of Israel were not true believers. But the Lord God does not deal with a little group of true believers in the midst of the nation, Israel. He is dealing with the whole nation, for he has chosen the whole nation. And so he reaches out again to the whole nation. It is important for us to realize this. For in our days, it also happens that in some church people have the idea of a little clutch of true believers in the midst of the congregation. And the little clutch then consists of individuals who are sure that they are born again. And the rest of the congregation are then at best considered confessors of the truth, but not true believers. The little clutch goes to the Lord's Supper, and the rest of the congregation does not. When, therefore, this portion of Isaiah 43 is read and explained, then the words of the Lord God, I have called you by name, you are mine, speak, of course, of the little clutch in the midst of the nation. And sometimes they do that with baptism, too. If the Lord says, I've called you by name, you are mine, that's really only for the elect children. But this is now absolutely wrong. The Lord God makes it very clear that he is speaking not to the 7,000 which he had preserved by hiding them from King Ahab. No, the Lord God speaks to Israel, also known as Jacob. And he's speaking here to the whole nation, his covenant people, all of them. He says to them all, I have called you by name. You are mine. In other words, regardless of what many of you Israelites may think of your relationship with me, you are mine. I am not your king because you chose me. No, you belong to me because I chose you. Regardless what some of you may think of me, you are mine. And if you choose to go against me and or ignore me, I will deal with you as people who are rebelling against their lawful and eternal king. And if you do not repent during this life, you shall be treated as eternal rebels with all the consequences that come from that. For never forget it, you are mine. Now, we as a congregation, and we are also a congregation that believes that the Old Testament is just as much the Word of God to God's people as the New Testament. And so the words spoken here in Isaiah 43 by the Lord God are also spoken to his New Testament church. And so the Lord God is also saying to all his covenant people here this morning, I have called you by your name. You are mine. Perhaps there are some people here this morning who were born and raised in a Christian home and yet have for a shorter or longer time turned their back on our triune God and perhaps have come to witness the baptism of this little one. Well, if you're one of such people, then the Lord God says also to you, you may think that you are through with me. Nevertheless, I have also called you by name. You are mine. So repent and believe, for I am also your Redeemer. But now back to Andrea Corian. Is she part of this congregation? That depends on how you see the Old Testament. If that's only for the Jewish people, then we here, we're not part of God's covenant people. And then Andrea is not part of this congregation until she finally makes confession of faith and is then baptized by immersion. But as we said, we are sure that the Old Testament, as God's word, also has full authority over us as New Testament church people, which means that we here are also part of the covenant people of the Lord God. We also have been engrafted into Israel, the old olive tree. And so our children are also children of the covenant and therefore part and parcel of the congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what does that tell us? Well, it tells us that when the Lord God says to us as a congregation, fear not, I have redeemed you, I've called you by name, you are mine, he also says this to Andrea, you are mine. We think here of the words of old Father Jacob, which he spoke to Joseph, and Joseph came to welcome his father into Egypt and brought his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, along, who were born in the land of Egypt. And then Jacob said, now your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt, they are mine, just like Reuben and Simeon. They shall be mine. And so the Lord Jesus Christ declares also to you, Derek and Marie, Andrea Corian, who has been born to you, is mine. Like old Jacob adopted Ephraim and Manasseh as his sons, so that they became two of the 12 tribes of Israel. So the triune God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, has adopted this little one together with all those born of members of this congregation. I have called them by their name. They are mine. And that's what the Lord Jesus, God says about all other covenant children here in our midst, and also those in the nursery, in the babysit, possibly at home. He declares, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory. I have formed them. Yes, I have made them. We may perhaps never have given it any thought that the children which the Lord God gives us are taken over by him. Did that mean that Ephraim and Manasseh now went and stayed with old Jacob? Not really. They most likely went home with Joseph until they could live independently. And so with Andrea, Corinna, and all our covenant children, they all stay at the home of their legal parents, who are now to raise them as children of the Lord. How many of us have seen our children in that light? How many of us have up till now been raising our children as belonging to the Lord? Would it from now on, or will it from now on, make a difference? Who is their real father? Who is their real eldest brother? And who is their real comforter, the Holy Spirit? Just think of how far removed we are here from those two little wild beast calves left to themselves in the open fields. And yet that sad picture shows us how necessary it is, secondly, to teach your child what it means to belong to the Lord Jesus. Now that means, first of all, teaching them that the Lord Jesus is not a stranger to them. In these days, our society is such that we need to street-proof our children. Never accept anything from anybody you do not know. Do not accept help to bring you home. Do not accept candy. Under no circumstances get into a car or a truck of somebody you do not know well. If a stranger talks to you, walk or run away, and so on. But the Lord Jesus should never be a stranger to our covenant children. We should make it clear that he is their friend and that he has blessed them at their baptism so that they can go to him anytime from anywhere. Our children surely may be taught the beginning of the first answer of the Heidelberger, what is your only comfort while living and dying? My only comfort is that I, with body and soul, while living and dying, am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, is that not something that we can teach very young children at a very young age? Well, here is another one. We teach little ones. And we have now great-grandchildren, so we see this all over again. What does the sheep say? Bah. What does the doggy say? Woof. Now, all right. What does the Lord Jesus say? Come unto me. What does the sheep say? Bah. What does the doggy say? Woof. What does the Lord Jesus say? Come unto me. Okay, children, help me. What does the sheep say? I don't hear anything. What does the sheep say? Very good. What does the doggy say? What does the Lord Jesus say? God bless you. That's the way it is. Come unto me. I did not know that. When I was as a 13-year-old, lay on the attic while the bombers were rumbling overhead, and they were shooting at them. And so, once more, these two little calves with no place to turn. What a comfort for little ones. When you wake up in the middle of the night or somehow you get lost, To be able to say to yourself, the Lord Jesus says to me, come unto me. I'm coming to you, Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus tells me that I belong to him. Please help me, Lord Jesus, for I belong to you. Now you may think, adults, that this is very simple and very childlike. But let us not forget that the Lord Jesus blessed the little ones who were brought to him. And shall he then not hear the cries of the little ones like Andrea, who belong to him, and of whom he has said, I've called you by name, you are mine? But also, is there any greater help and comfort which we can give to our children than to get our children to grow up into a trusting relationship with the Lord? Later on, we can teach them the various truths about the Lord Jesus and God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. But if that only remains head knowledge, it will not help much when later on in life they run into serious trouble. And therefore, it is so important that our children learn as young as possible that the Lord God knows them by name and will care for them and bless them when they cry out to him. Children, just remember that the Lord God knows you by name, and he will care for you and bless you when you cry out to him. Oh, for the blessing to have been led to the Lord Jesus from the very beginning of life. For the blessing to come to trust the Lord in any and all circumstances. What a blessing to be able to sing, I found a friend, oh, such a friend. He loved me ere I knew him. He drew me with the cords of love, and thus he bound me to him. And round my heart still closely twine those ties which naught can sever. For I am his, and he is mine, forever and forever. Think again about those two little calves, and then think about teenagers and young adults so in despair that they see no light, that they want to put an end to life, and far too often do. And yes, of course, and then it will take more than a robust faith than to make us sing. God is our refuge and our strength, our ever-present aid. And therefore, though the earth remove, we will not be afraid. Though hills amidst the seas be cast, though foaming waters roar, the Lord of hosts is on our side, our safety to secure. The God of Jacob is for us a refuge, strong and sure. Of course, that kind of trust is ultimately the work of the Comforter and the Teacher, the Holy Spirit. But as parents, we are called to be his hands and feet to lead our little ones to Jesus in such a way that they will end up with the Lord as their refuge, strong and sure. There is really no other way to prepare your child for today's world of darkness. The beautiful world in which the two little calves darted around was nevertheless full of darkness. Four or five leopards, a hyena, a fox, dark clouds in spite of bright sunshine, and green grass. And you may think that I'm milking the two calves too much, but read and listen to what even the young teenagers of today are faced with. There are the cyber bullies. There are the desperate drug dealers who want to earn for their own consumption, to name just a few of the leopards in the pasture. But enough of that. For the predators that our young people are up against are not just a few miserable hyenas. For says God's word, we are not up against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the present darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Another translation puts it this way: we're not waging war against enemies of flesh and blood alone. No, this fight is against tyrants, against authorities, against supernatural powers and demon princes that slither in the darkness of this world, and against wicked spiritual armies that lurk about in heavenly places. To be able to overcome such predators, you need to be born again. For we are told in 1 John 5:4, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So how do we help our children to develop true survival skills in the dark world of today? And the answer is, teach them the full answer to the first question of the catechism. With that answer, a believer will be able to withstand anything that life may throw at him. And so our children have to learn about the suffering and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, but not just in an abstract, impersonal manner. Like, well, this is what I'm taught to believe, so if I believe it, I will be all right. No, it must become experiential knowledge. Our children must learn that Jesus died, yes, was crucified. For whom? For his people. Also for them. Why? Because of their sin. Now, that is often a real challenge, to know how great your sins and miseries are, and to learn to know with your heart that it took the Lord Jesus, God the Son in the flesh, on the cross to wipe out, to wash away our sins. No head knowledge here, please, but a deep awareness that he suffered on the cross also for you and me. And if you do not know that with your heart, then you will profit from his suffering, but very little. But once you know that from the heart, then the next line in the answer is of great relief, that our Lord Jesus Christ has fully delivered you from all the power of the devil. There is the slingshot of David for you, together with some smooth stones, so that with the help of the Lord, you can tackle any Goliath which may come up against you. Actually, you do not need a slingshot. All you have to do is to say when under attack, in Jesus' name, get behind me, Satan. Yes, that's right. The believer may command the evil one and his demons in Jesus' name. But it takes complete trust in the Lord Jesus, deep heart knowledge that he is your Lord and Savior, that he has redeemed you, and that he has called you by name and has said, you are mine. What the rest of the answer of the question one teaches us is that we are to totally surrender ourselves to the Lord our God, place ourselves in his hands, and he will lead his adopted children in such a way that all things in their lives will work together for their salvation. Well, finally, he will make them sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. Now all this the Holy Spirit will also work in the hearts of our little ones when we lead them to Jesus. And then they will discover his great love for them and how there is no other refuge but him alone. When our little ones come to know the Lord Jesus as their refuge, it will not matter where they are in this world, in whatever circumstances, or in what time of their life, then they will know where to flee when the predators attack them. Then, when whether you're a child, a teenager, a Generation Xer, a millennial, a boomer, or old age, you will all know the firm foundation which is laid for your faith in his excellent word. May that be true for all of us. And what more can he say than to you he has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. Oh, that none of us may ever be caught like those two deserted young wildebeest calves. And therefore, parents and congregations, lead your little ones to Jesus, that he may bless them and assure them again and again, I have called you by name, you are mine. And that they learn to say, what does Jesus say? Come unto me. Amen. Now go in peace, bearing the blessing of the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.